Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Hey, UK Bills Mafia. This is Christian Wade of your Buffalo Bills. This is the Red, White, and Buffalo Blues, a UK Bills podcast with your hosts, Matt and Alex. Let's go, Buffalo! Woo!
Whoa. Good morning. Hello. Welcome to the Red, White, and Buffalo Blues, a UK Bills podcast. Bills news with a UK twist. Sorry, you just caught me on a nap there. Alex, are you bright and breezy or are you still sleepy like me?
I've taken, I think, 5 cold showers this morning just to wake myself up to be able to do anything. I unfortunately had to take my dog to surgery today. She tore some ligaments in her knee. So that got me
ouch.
Up. But I got to tell you, man, I've been dreading doing this since about halftime of the game last night.
That's really?
Pretty much bad it was the whole time.
I still had optimism.
Score-wise, there was optimism, sure. But in terms of how the game felt and was played, I don't know where you could have picked any moment to be optimistic other than when it was 7-7. That was it, maybe.
I don't know. Until the... Till towards the end of the second quarter, I still thought there would be a little bit of hope going in. We're only a touchdown, obviously, was it 17-10 at halftime or something like that?
I mean, I got to say, I was even optimistic at like 21-10. The sliver of optimism because, you know, but my God, man, just, there are so many things to talk about.
Well, that's including your tweets on Prue from the Bake Off.
You know, that was the most fun I had yesterday was tweeting Bake Off.
That was a bit risque. That tweet.
They love their innuendo on Bake Off. So
there was a poor Hollywood handshake anyway.
Nope, not last night, but there wasn't a lot of engagement, so I might not do it again. So you know, we'll go and see what happens.
Let's move on. We're not here to talk about the Bake Off, even though we probably could do a whole podcast. You could probably do a whole podcast on the last episode of the Bake Off. But we are here to talk the now 4-1 Buffalo Bills. Now I've been circulating Twitter since then, and obviously everyone's coming up with excuse after excuse after excuse. Titans has 17 days off, they haven't practiced and all that. I mean, I was gonna really wanted to find you go over there and actually really deck Jay Feely for the amount of times he kept saying Titans hadn't practiced, Titans had this, Titans had that on there. But at the end of the day, there's no excuse for what actually happened. We weren't good on the day. We didn't hit our blocks. We didn't follow, execute our game plans properly, regardless if we missed White, Milano, John Brown, or anything like that. It's a case that we didn't stick to a task. We missed Milano a couple of weeks ago, and we still came out with the win. Okay, Trey White was probably the biggest loss on there, but we just can't make excuses. We just got to pick ourselves up and get ready for next week against the Chiefs.
Yeah, you can't lose two players on defense then completely fall apart. There are other guys on that team, on that side of the ball, that are supposed to pick them up, you know? It's not so much as next man up as it is like, you know, shoulder the weight, I would say. And the defensive line did not shoulder the weight at all of the loss of Trey White and Matt Milano. But
yeah,
the first thing before we get into the good, the bad, and the fan questions is one of the first things you said when we started talking about this game was we're 4-1. That's not bad.
Yeah.
We've been acting all year like it's over. You know, sure, the defense has been bad, but we're 4-1. This isn't the same team that squandered a 5-1 record back in 08. There's too much character. There's too much pride. There's too much, you know, there's too solid a coaching to be able to blow this. The schedule obviously is tough, but I'm not ready to throw in the towel. A guy yesterday on Twitter was talking about how he wants to show the front office all the mistakes they've made. And I there's a little bit of Brandon Bean criticism in this. There's a little bit of Sean McDermott criticism in this show, but overall it's, you know, don't wave the white flag. Don't throw in the towel. You know, look at the course of the season. Look at what we've been able to accomplish. Yesterday was a falter. I don't think it was, you know, we didn't drown, you know, it's not over.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, so we obviously want to talk about the defense first, right?
Well, one thing, obviously, just following on to that is what I was watching on Good Morning Football just before we came on and did the recording.
I don't know how you could have done that. There was no way I was watching any national media after.
It was Carl Brandt actually saying it was a good, I think it was him or it was Nate Belson that was actually saying it's a good thing that the Bills lost. They were talking, are the Bills overhyped this year? But it's actually a good thing. And I kind of agree it is a good thing that we actually lost, because we'd be buying into the hype so much that their one little breakdown, one little wrong move can obviously send us plummeting and actually lose. And I think that's how we lose fans, lose momentum and all that. But this way, it keeps the team grounded. It keeps the fans grounded, knowing that we weren't going to go through the season at 16-0 or anything like that. And these losses come at the right time to show how the team can actually get that mentality to bounce back from this when they've got another few big games coming up. So they've got the Chiefs, the Patriots, the Seahawks as three of the next four games. So this loss comes at the right time, in my opinion. I'd rather done that than gone 5-0, lose to the Chiefs, and then have to pick yourself up against the Patriots and then the Seahawks.
No, that's a good way to look at it. Good teams, when they face adversity, they rally around it and they come back from it. So if we beat Tennessee, there's a possibility that, I don't know, I've never been on an NFL team before, so I can't say what that locker room would have been like if we have beaten the Titans. Confidence is really important, because when you play confident, you play well.
Yeah.
But the Buffalo of it all is we're going to be doubted now. And I think that's where we like to be. I can't speak for the players because they're not from Buffalo. So they don't have that mentality built inside of them of no one is going to pick us. Everyone's counting us out. But yeah, I mean, if the players listen to the national media at all, they're going to probably hear a lot of criticism. And I think the coaches are going to hear a lot of criticism. Leslie Frazier and Sean McDermott have heard a lot of criticism about the defense this year. They clearly know what they have and what they don't have on defense. And for them to have not fixed anything by now is a little bit troublesome. But to speak to that, I think the most important thing defensively is our pass rush.
Yeah. It begs to definitely, obviously, the pass rush is one of the main things. Obviously, coverage as well, because there were loads of times over the middle that we actually got done. And obviously, we'll come to that when we go through the bad, which still makes me run back way before the whole Deion Dawkins re-signing, when they say you got to choose one of Milano and Dawkins. It's easy to say after this game with the pass rush, with the coverage and all that, and I say we'll go into that with our bad segment, that Milano is a key piece and is one that needs to be re-signed if possible, or they go for another guy at his level, whether it be established or a rookie.
Yeah. So speaking on the pass rush, where is it? This is yeah, right?
Somewhere.
Look, we're trying to get pressure on the quarterback. We blitz 33% of QB dropbacks. That's eighth in the NFL. But we only pressure 16% of the time, which is second last.
Yeah.
How do you fix that? I mean, is it really? This is what we talked about in the offseason. Is the loss of Shaq Lawson and Jordan Phillips going to be felt? And we all said, no, we replaced them. So
I think if anything, it's not Phillips. It's not Jordan Phillips that really is the loss there. It's Dalu Tulele, but also where the pass rush can be generated and get enough pressure from is the coverage from the secondary.
Yeah.
If the secondary can keep receivers, tight ends, and all that covered, that gives more time for the pass rush to do what they can to get past it. I mean, they had the Titans had Taylor Lewan out for about a quarter of the game or so, and yet I don't think did we sack Tannehill once?
No sacks.
But it's all, and maybe this is where Trey White is. He's conceded a touchdown, all that, he's shut down, but that's why he is that good, because he can buy that time to actually allow that pass rush to generate, or we just get someone on the other side.
But that's just one player. I mean, you still have Tannehill having the ability to go through all of his progressions, and you're looking at Josh Norman giving up space, Terry Johnson being awful.
Obviously, that's why I'm saying it's hoping to find in the offseason or via trade. I mean, I'm trying to go through all the players that potentially could actually be traded for and what they'd cost and all that. But if you look in free agency and draft, that's the area that you're going to need to look at, need to be one of your top two picks. Because if you can get a solid, dependable guy like Sean Wade or Patrick Surtain, anyone like that, opposite Trey, you've got that real stability in there that you can then have them be there locked down and actually allow that pass rush to flourish.
Yeah, it's clear that Josh Norman isn't the answer in the secondary. He's going to be good in run support, except for that Derrick Henry play. Let's not talk about it. Let's not show it. But, his forced fumble last week, that's what he brings. He brings strength and energy. He doesn't bring consistency stopping the pass. I think it's an opportunity to go out and look and see, what does Washington have? What do the Giants have? What does Atlanta have? What can we do? Where can we find someone in the secondary to go make a trade and get someone like Pittsburgh did with Minkah Fitzpatrick last year?
What would you say about Patrick Peterson?
Arizona?
No, I think he's with the Falcons now, I think.
But no.
Let me have a look. Because he is he's going to be a free agent at the end of the season. So if he's going to be there and he's not going to resign, that's something. Oh, wait, hold on.
Cardinals. Yeah, Arizona.
Okay. Yeah. So he's, so at the end of the year, he's going to be an undrafted free agent. So would you take him? Would you actually swing a trade for him?
I'd throw him a third round pick for him. He's up there in age too, though. I mean, I'm willing to trade our first round draft pick for a young middle-aged, a young corner.
Okay.
I'll do some research into Atlanta and to the Giants. They're 0-5 for a reason, so it's going to be tough to swing a trade there for a talented player, because those two rosters don't have a lot of talented players. Clearly the Jets aren't trading with you because it's in the division, but
okay.
But the defensive backs are only part of the pass rush. That's a coverage sack. We're clearly not going to get coverage sacks this year. because we can't really even play zone because our front four can't get pressure. So in that instance, you switch to playing man, and man coverage doesn't work because our corners can't keep up with wide receivers. So
yeah,
people like to complain in put this on Leslie Frazier, which is weird because with pretty much the same roster as last year, he put together a fantastic defense. So I think that it's not play calling. It's just a product of the personnel. A defense success relies on pass rush and DB coverage. They're intertwined. Last year when one faltered, the other made up for the other. But right now, neither one of those things are happening. And you saw the result last night. We got a billion fan questions about the defense, obviously. It was by far the biggest issue of the game last night, has been by far the biggest issue on the season. Yeah,
it was unbelievable.
There is no quick fix. There is no answer. I firmly believe that the defense was so good last year because we were able to play a lot of really bad teams. And now we're playing good teams, well injured, and it's making things look exponentially worse.
Yeah. I think it's a hard one, really. I mean, yes, they say it seems like the Bills are going on and defense is going on. It's not broken, don't fix it. With the personnel on there, but it's starting to actually form cracks in there, whether it be the loss of personnel or just how they're actually working to generate the pressure. I mean, how many sacks have we had all season? How many interceptions have we actually got? How much pressure are we actually getting to force even incompletions? I mean, there were times where they actually were doing that in the first couple of games. Yes, we gave up loads of points, but we were generating that pressure. But somewhere, and maybe it is Tennessee actually, and to a lesser extent, maybe the Rams a couple of weeks ago, have found those little kinks in the in that defensive shield that Frazier and McDermott just need to go to strip it off and actually try and implement something, potentially something new, or just refine the existing playbook to generate that pressure and obviously get us down to where we want to be again. And that's up in the top five of the defense to match the offense.
Yeah, it's clear with our sack percentage, with our blitz percentage and our QB hurry percentage, that it's time to draw up some different blitzes. If the defensive playbook hasn't changed since last year, it's time to implement something different and something new.
Yeah.
McDermott mentioned in the post game, I don't know, it's just so tough because we all know what the issue is. We can talk about it till day's end. We can explain it till for hours, but the idea is to come up with solutions. And at this point, McDermott's talking about how the front four is just not getting any pressure. And then on top of that, the cornerback depth is just awful. The linebacker depth is awful. And here's where I can criticize Bean a little bit. His ability to make depth decisions, I think, has hurt us. There were guys in free agency, and we brought in, I think, the wrong ones to back up our linebacking core and our cornerbacks. Josh Norman.
Really? Would you really put that on Bean, or would you kind of put that on McDermott? Because McDermott knows what he's actually looking for in there. And
well, I don't know the dynamic. I would love to be able to be at One Bills Drive to see how they work together. I imagine they work together quite well, and they're in all decisions. But at the end of the day, it's Bean's signature on these contracts. You know, he's the one making the calls. And whatever the case is, getting all these guys from Carolina isn't working. It's time to try something different before things get off the rails. You know, 4-1 could become 4-4. Luckily, we have a Jets game in there. but 4-1 can become 4-4 really quick if we have to only rely on Allen. Because another bad part of last night's game was our run blocking. Without a consistent running game, you know, name me a team that made the Super Bowl that was one-dimensional. You know, the Chiefs, for their running back depth last year, could still run the ball. And look at them this year. They're even better with it. The Patriots could always run and pass. The Seahawks could run and pass. We right now cannot run the football. What's going on there? I mean, you mentioned like Yeldon. Yeah, he's great at getting 1 yard. I mean, Singletary's just running into guys. There are no holes for him. You know.
Yeah, I think that's where my confusion of the tweet last night, Ashyam, said when Yeldon broke that run. I didn't mean should. Obviously, I said can make him number one, but the other part of it was why can't we design runs for that? That probably would have, if we could have opened that up and Singletary actually used that, we would have been in a lot better position for it. I mean, he had 27 yards on like 11 carries or something like that.
It's so bad. I don't even have Singletary's stat line memorized because it was, I know it's not something that I want to even have in my memory bank. Let me get it real quick here. The fun thing is we're filming this live, but on our video, the stats will already be on the bottom of the screen, so you can see them before I can. We have Singletary. Yeah, 11 for 25. Come on.
Close.
Come on.
Close on that.
That can't happen. The Tennessee Titans cannot stop the run. They're not a good run defense. The Tennessee Titans defense at all is very average. I thought ours was average, and ours is now bottom of the league, but... When your game plan, and it's clearly not the game plan, but when the game script forces you to rely on one player, your team is going to lose. And last night we were forced to rely on Josh Allen, and he had an average game. And you're going to lose when you have to rely on one player. So the run blocking needs to get fixed.
One name for you, Le'Veon Bell. Would you tread the tires?
No, what can he do when there's nowhere to run?
But then it's
not.
Obviously, I don't know what's.
There's nothing wrong with Singletary. There's nothing wrong with Zach Moss. The problem is that this offensive line is one dimensional. They're phenomenal in pass protection, but we can't throw the ball 50 times every game. You become one dimensional, the other team can stop you.
Yeah.
So we have to figure out a better run blocking scheme going forward to be able to slow the game flow down and control game, you know, script.
Yeah. I mean, it's maybe, and I think we may cover this in one of the fan questions. I know it came up a couple of times on the broadcast. They were in limbo whether they only knew this game was going ahead Monday. So are we, I said at the beginning, no excuses on there, but would you say that potentially has something in, or they started knowing from Saturday that they were going to face the Titans and they should have been full Titan.
No, absolutely. There's no excuse here. After last week's game, you start getting ready for the Titans. The NFL is not going to give you a brand new opponent that week, you know? So we had all week plus some extra days to prepare for the Titans, and we didn't bother.
Yeah.
Okay, that's the wrong thing. We clearly did. We just did it poorly.
Yeah.
There was no reason to start looking at the Chiefs until – the game was officially canceled, because let's say the game gets officially canceled on Monday. Okay. So you just played a Monday night football game. You have a normal schedule to get ready for the Chiefs. So at no point throughout the week should this team have ever gotten comfortable and sat back and said, all right, let's not worry about it. Oh, we're not going to play. No, this coaching staff needs to get this team ready to play this game this night. Prepare Sunday. If you don't play Sunday, then prepare like you're playing Monday. If you're not playing Monday, you're given two extra days now to prepare for your opponent.
Yeah.
And that's another, this is another segment in our bad. Penalties, preparation, and special teams. We were not prepared in nearly any facet of this day, of this game for success. 10 penalties. Yeah. 5 drops by receiver.
3-on-1.
Special teams given up a 40-yard punt return. Titans starting 3 of their touchdown drives in our territory.
Yeah.
How are you not ready for this game? I don't care. They had 3 games. So there's film on the Titans. You had a week plus to get ready. I mean, come on. You're going to tell me it's because it's Tuesday?
No, I mean,
creatures of habit? I can't prescribe to any of these excuses. They weren't prepared, and that's on the coaching staff.
I mean, the 3 penalty, was it 3 false start penalties in a row right near the end? It's abysmal.
14 penalties in total, 10 were accepted. Just no preparation, no understanding. I mean, there's tape of Tannehill doing a hard count. Get ready for that. How are you not ready for this game?
Yeah, the one other bad before we go into a few goods on there is that drive in the towards the end of the third quarter into the fourth quarter, where it took them 6 minutes and 29 seconds to score a touchdown to go, what I think it went, about 70-odd yards for that. The Titans.
Our offense?
Yeah, our offense. The Titans managed to go
28-17, right?
Yeah. So our offense, the Titans' offense managed to do the same distance in a hell of a less time than that. Obviously, we were expecting at that point when it comes to fourth that everything will go great. It will actually, Josh Allen will light it up. The defense will come alight like they did in the last game against the Raiders. But 6 minutes to score, to go 70 yards, I understand keep winding down the clock, but there were times where they could have hit the hurry-up huddle. Allen should have had 2, maybe 3 plays in his head ready to go to snap, snap, snap. And when you know the run game hadn't been working all game, why would you put runs in there that slow that progression down? If you know you're getting,
I mean, if you want to get Singletary the ball, work the screen game, you know, get him out on the flat, do a pitch, you know, run an option. Do something out of the ordinary. All of our runs were remarkably ordinary. You make a really good point about that drive showing no urgency, but at the same time, that was Tennessee dictating the game. They knew exactly how to slow Allen down, and they did it. They played a really good zone defense. I mean, they didn't get pressure nearly all game. Credit to the offensive line. But that also could have just been to the game design for the Titans. They dropped back and they covered their zones really well. I mean, we didn't get to Beasley until the third quarter. A little bit of that stuff should have happened. I mean, this is a game where on defense, you can criticize the coaching. On offense, you can criticize the coaching. I don't think Dable really had it going this game. At the same time, I mean, the was it the fourth quarter or third quarter? The second Allen interception.
Third quarter.
Yeah, if we connect on that, let's say he doesn't throw that pick. Horrible play, horrible interception. By no means, no excuses there. No one's perfect. It's not time to give up on Josh Allen. So hopefully, no one's doing that. But you know, that was icing on the cake. If we score there. You want to say who knows, but with this defense not being able to stop anything, you know, it's tough. Urgency when the game was starting to get out of hand. I understand a need for calm under pressure, but I think lighting a fire under your ass is also something that really should have happened there. They didn't take any shots down the field, right?
Yeah. I mean, the first, I don't think they did. I think there were a couple. But I think one was, I think, Davis for a touchdown with a bit was a bit of a deep purple, but that was called back.
Yeah.
On that.
But nothing like 20 plus, I think. And again, no. if you're relying on John Brown to stretch the defense so you can get digs on a deep it curl route, then you're relying on one player to be able to have a full successful offense. That's the same thing with our defense. If we needed John Brown to be able to play the deep field, then you need to reconsider your offensive strategy because that position should be plug and play.
Yeah, exactly.
On defense, if you lose two players, the other guys need to step up and they didn't. So that speaks to either depth or the playbook not being able to adjust.
Yeah.
And that's where we're at right
exactly.
now.
Exactly. I mean, it's you're just trying to figure out how you can really put it into perspective on that. I mean, yeah, you're right. If you're looking at just John Brown to take the top off to give Diggs coverage, then you know Diggs is going to have can obviously take a couple of guys if he's working the underneath route, and then that leaves John Brown one on one. Yeah, if you're relying on one, you at least need to have someone else that has that that can use that skill set, so that use that burner pace. I don't think we've got anyone aside from John Brown really that can play his sort of role.
McKenzie's fast. I don't know why we wouldn't run him on a go route.
Who?
McKenzie.
Diggs.
McKenzie.
Oh, McKenzie.
Get McKenzie to run the go route and then use Diggs underneath that. You know, stack some wide receivers. You know, we played spread a lot. And, you know, it just seemed like there wasn't any adjustments being made. It's really tough. I mean, last year and early this year, we learned what works. But I think now after five games, it's time to slightly start modifying and tweaking things. Just like we did after the Browns game last year. You know, we realized what we were doing wasn't working anymore. And now it's time to change things up. And it's absolutely time to start to change things up right now. And hopefully they get that done by Monday night because the Chiefs are a huge test.
Yeah.
But so we talk about Chiefs, we do have some good stuff to talk about, right? Just a few good things to talk about.
I want to start on how well we can do on third downs, especially third and longs.
Third down efficiency is fantastic, absolutely.
I mean, bar the first one on third and four, when obviously it got chalked up to an interception on there. I think he went 3-13. He hit Gabe Davis for 15 yards. Third and seven, Allen makes a DB blitz miss, gets 8 yards rushing, and then third and 15, Andre Roberts gets 16 after Allen avoids pressure and actually throws into that tight coverage. I mean, you see how well he managed to make the catch. That was almost intercepted. I can't remember by who, but that's the one thing that at least we know that we can keep the defense guessing, because they know, regardless if they push us at third and five or more, that we still can be that threat. I think that's a plus that we got from yesterday, but also from the season, how well and how much that the defense have got to be aware that on third and long and third down, you can't rule out anything that that Josh and the Bills do.
Oh, absolutely. This has been a praise that I've been singing all season for the Bills, is that last night they were 13 of 17 on third down. That's unbelievable. We're top five in the NFL in third down percentage and conversion rate. And it's a thing that I mentioned in our last show, that you watch NFL Red Zone, you see these teams on third and 11, third and 12, draw run, screen pass, wide receiver screen. They give up. This team does not give up on third and long. I love that. I just wish it worked out last night. When you're 13 of 17 on third down, when you have more offensive yards than the other team and lost, something went really wrong, and it's time to discover for these coaches how they can clean that up.
Yeah. I mean, another good one, I can't remember if it's in your show notes, was this week and last week, the general improvement of that run defense. Yes, we let Henry score two touchdowns.
The second one was in garbage time.
He actually had 19 carries for 57 yards. And
yeah, this is a guy who can run for 200 in a game.
Yeah, and last week, Josh Jacobs, he went for less than 80 yards or something like that.
Yeah.
Let's get back on it. But we were moaning after the Rams game of the run defense actually needing to tighten up. But at least now we know that whatever they've done in that little time period to fix it, knows that this defense can now be programmed and actually can. This defense has the mental capacity to actually implicate anything. So whatever
is it at the sacrifice of a better pass defense, though? You know.
I mean, the only way to find that out would be next week when we face the Chiefs and Clyde Edwards-Helaire. We can limit him, and then obviously Cam Newton and whoever the running back for the Patriots will be. Then at least we know that they're trying to fix defense one at a time. But it should really be, I think it's rather fix the run defense part first to stop them potentially making any doing well off play action, then actually fix the pass. Because if you can fix the pass rush and the pass defense with the secondary and linebackers and all that, and you're not focusing on the run, that's just another dimension that they can actually they can squirt through. I mean, look at the first three games. We got dashed quite a fair amount of times by running plays, not so much the last two. I'd rather them fix that run defense to start with and actually continue to chip away at the pass defense.
Yeah, I think the first thing the Bills did this morning was sit down McDermott, Frazier, and whoever the defensive line coach is and really try and hammer this thing out. Is it a situation where you throw Epenesa in? I know he's raw. He's maybe a little bit undersized. But, I mean, Hughes looked old. He's looked good in moments, but he's looked bad more often than not. It's just, a lot of people talk about Ed Oliver, but he's a player. He should have never drawn a Aaron Donald comparison. But he unfortunately did on draft day. So he's not a player who's going to show up on the stat sheet. So don't expect that.
Yeah.
But the front four needs to get fixed, and it needs to get fixed in a hurry, because if they can't get a rush on a quarterback, then the secondary is going to get feasted on. And it's just going to be more of the same like last night.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but I can't keep talking about how bad last night's game was. Do you just want to move on to the fan questions? I know our good segment was this bad segment was this big, but.
Well, you did have a couple of bits. I'm reading your show notes now. Yeah. Obviously, the Allen to Diggs connection is still going strong. I mean, Diggs is, I think, now the top wide receiver in yards, or maybe second in the NFL at the moment, showing that even when he's drawing coverage, he can still make those plays. And obviously, as you mentioned earlier, the importance of Cole Beasley in that list, in the squad. I mean, when he goes down, and if he ever is out for a sustained period, you've got no one underneath to actually to really cover. I mean, at the moment, can you trust Dawson Knox? At the moment, is it
no,
a case?
I don't think Dawson Knox is the answer at tight end.
So
when he'll make a play and then he'll miss like three plays, so that's really frustrating for him. Diggs is second in the league in the NFL, 509 pass receiving yards, second to DeAndre Hopkins, but third is DK Metcalf. And I just want to humor me on this real quick. Should we have drafted him last year? And then this year we don't trade the pick for Diggs and we take a defensive player. Could you imagine our offense being as good with DK Metcalf, John Brown, and Cole Beasley? and then our defense being better because we use the pick this year in the first round, maybe trade down, get two players on defense. I love to play what if, you know, it's fun. I love what our offense is. I love Diggs. I just wonder if we could have played things a little bit more conservative and a little bit by the book, we could have had, you know, instead of Cody Ford, DK Metcalf.
Then at that point, then you'd be looking, I mean, to be honest, I may swap the tin hat. I would rather have Cody Ford and actually Diggs this year than Metcalf and whoever they would actually bring in on the offensive line. Because obviously with Cody, they put him on tackle. He held his own. They've moved him to guard where he started to be play a lot more now. He gives you that flexibility. We've got Brown and Beasley in there. It would have been the case last year of actually how quickly could have Metcalf really got into the game. I mean, what was it?
Of course, he could be a product of Seattle, of course. I mean, they have different coaches, and it could have worked better there than here. You're right.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things because I feel like need defensive pieces right now, and that's why I bring it up.
No, I think the offense is pretty much as it's going to be. Maybe they just need maybe another guard and possibly a tight end. I think that's probably
my whole point was not talking about offensive pieces. It was talking about defensive pieces.
Yeah, I know. But I'm just saying that's on the offense. So they can now focus back on the defense. I think that's what they wanted to do. They wanted to get the defense They've sprinkled in the offense in the second year. They've made it a priority this year. Now they've got it, and there's probably there's a couple pieces left. Now they can focus on the defense, which, yes, has regressed, and there are holes in there. So I think the pieces on offense they've got as they are. I would not have traded – I would not have taken Metcalf over Ford. I'm happy with what they've done there, which now means that they can focus solely on the defense during the offseason and in the draft.
And hopefully now. Go out and sign a guy. Go out and trade for a guy. You got to do it now. This team is close to something special. And I think we're that piece or two away. Go out and get it done because it needs to get fixed now.
Yeah. So let's hit it up then. Let's roll up the fan questions.
All right. We had about 30, but they were all about the defense. So we'll just take one. All right. We'll take one. And I think this one was short, concise, and to the point. Steve Partridge, where the fuck has our defense gone? Now, Matt, I don't think they're outside your house.
Try and explain how
a team finishes top five in defense last year and now is so bad.
I think it obviously injuries are playing a tiny part, just a tiny part in there. But I think it's what I read before we came on and recorded what McDermott said, that the whole COVID experience hasn't COVID experience, the COVID pandemic hasn't helped at all. Because I mean, if it weren't for that, who knows? We may have seen Epinesa actually have a more of a role in there. We would have been able to see Addison, Butler, Jefferson actually get a lot more practice in over time. I'm not using that as an excuse. I mean,
they had a training camp.
Yeah.
They just didn't have preseason. But we're at game five now, so that he should be ready, right?
So this is what I was saying a couple weeks back, that September would be an extended training camp. Now, obviously, we're into October. This is where should have been fixed. I mean, maybe it is the injuries, but I think it's what we touched on. It's the depth on that. I mean, after Dodson, I still read him. He had an okay game last night, but you've got Edmonds, Milano, Dodson, only three linebackers. You've got Matikajevic, you've got Klein, you've got Andre Smith, and Deion Lacey as your backups. there's no depth there. I mean, you've got Trey Whitehall. You've had to run with a 33-year-old Josh Norman.
I think he's 67. Undrafted
67. Ah, fair enough. You've got an undrafted free agent in Cam Lewis, who, again, is showing promise, showed a bit of promise in the run game.
But he's also showing that he's an undrafted rookie, you know?
Well, yeah. But he's obviously showed a couple of flashes when he actually came downhill to actually tackle Derrick Henry, which is no.
Yeah, but
no
we need players now. We don't need projects. Yeah. Matt, fix our defense.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying that this is my point. I'm trying to elaborate the fact.
No, I need an immediate answer. Fix our defense right now. What's the one thing? All right, let's do this.
Okay.
I gave you no time to think about this. So this is going to be off the cuff. What's one thing that you would do differently going forward?
Okay, elaborate. What, you're talking like signing or scheming or
okay, or like... we'll do each. Signing and then scheming. So would you go out and sign, if you had to sign one position, let's not say per player, but if you could trade or get a free agent, you know, is it going to be a linebacker? Is it going to be a cornerback? Is it going to be a defensive end? Like, what's the one position on defense that can make our team a little bit better?
On defense, it's going to be cornerback.
So you're playing GM. You're going out and signing another corner right now.
I'm going to get a cornerback out there because, okay. I mean, it, what I said earlier, it's, You get the secondary solidified on there, the rest will start to fall in place. I mean, the linebacker spot is the next desperate place on there. I'm not too worried about the defensive line, but it's the cornerback position that really we're going to look out for. Because if we can get someone like a Patrick Peterson or someone along those lines, ones that are either coming on free agency next year that we can get for cheap picks, or even splash out on a big pick for a player. We solidify that, and you can see that with the Steelers and how they've got two class things. You've got the Rams kind of, but there are teams around that have two really good cornerbacks, and pair those our two cornerbacks, whoever walks it, Trey White with Hyde and Poyer, you've got that secondary sewn up that anything over the top and coverage is actually good. That then helps alleviates that that front seven and the odd signing, the odd scheme, and the odd way we blitz, whether we send four, whether we send five, whether we actually mix up the coverage and the play. Will then actually start to slowly fit into pieces, you know, like those old kids things. We got to fit the shape into the hole.
I agree that cornerback depth is remarkably necessary, absolutely. And I would say scheme wise, I think it comes down to technique. It comes down to deception. I think you really need to get creative with it. I think you need to watch a lot more game film. You know, go out and see what other team. This is one thing that I don't really know how, if teams do this or not, but I mean, I would spend all of my time going out and watching what other teams do well, and then just implementing that in my playbook. You know, I don't have the kind of pride. I don't have that Rex Ryan pride of this is my playbook. We're going to do it. It's going to work. And then have it all go to shit. You know, if someone else out there is doing something that you're not doing, go try it, you know, try something different. Because right now we're getting beat because we either have too much film on what we do, or it's because it's not working. And if it's not working, then man, I mean, I can't imagine needing a defensive overhaul that might set us back a bit.
Exactly.
Next question.
So what have you got?
Yep. Next question. We got Jimmy, who says the only question is if anyone actually believes that the Bills basically didn't throw this game and just focused on KC with all the schedule issues. Now, I know we touched on this just a little bit earlier, but that would be egregious.
Yeah.
It would be a massive error on the coach's part to say, all right, Titans, we might play them. Let's get some early prep in for Kansas City. If they did that, then fire everyone.
Yeah, I think it's not, that's not the case. I don't think they would basically go out and throw a game. I mean, throw a game where you're then you're facing currently someone who is undefeated as well. Okay, they've played the game less, but at the end of the day, if you want to make that playoff, then it is a case that you've got to
be focused.
You've got to be focused on who you're playing this week. Knock off the Titans. You've got that tiebreaker over them if anything does. Then go in fresh with Chiefs. You'd be on a bit of a bounce from the last two games. They're coming off a bit of a downer, and it's coming through.
On that same note, Chris Lee asks, do you think the Bills looked like a team who prepared for two teams? How the NFL thought it was fair on the Bills, I have no idea. I understand a little bit of frustration about...
To be honest, no, I don't think... I don't think they did look like a team like that. I just think it was a case that the Titans came out, they had a point to prove, the Bills went up to scratch. I don't think they had one eye on the Chiefs or game plan for two. They may have done, because obviously they didn't know until late whether the game was actually going ahead or not, so they may have some prep for it, but I don't think they would have spent the whole week actually prepping for the Chiefs as well.
No, they definitely wouldn't be prepping for the Chiefs. I would just imagine that some of the players probably were frustrated about their routine being broken by the NFL. But I mean, look at what the Titans have been through, and they were ready, and we weren't. So that's just shit, you know, on the coaching. You know, that needs to get cleaned up. These guys need to get ready. Chris Payne asks, who do you think / which unit has been the biggest surprise for their drop off in production this year? So clearly that's going to be on the defense. I would say defensive line. You said you're not worried about the defensive line. I am not, in terms of pass rush.
I'm not too worried about them. Yes, that I agree that they are the biggest surprise for the drop off in production for what they actually brought in and obviously what they lost. I'm still not worried that it's going to be a major thing for that the whole season. I think there is still some good in there. It's just getting the D-line coach and Leslie Frazier just to come up with a new way to actually just scheme to get that pressure. I think the reason that the pass rush is actually is lacking at the moment is because they're carrying on into the same scheme, the same blitz package, the same processes, and they're not adapting it. So it's starting to get a bit more predictable. Plus, you need to tell whoever's on the edge that if it's going to be a run play, to set the edge rather than actually try and come in on the blitz.
Yeah, Tannehill beating us on the, two huge runs, not being able to have a spy or set an edge by the pass rushers was really frustrating. I mean, we have a defense that's worth $103 million. That's tops in the league. And they're this bad.
Yeah.
You can't spend that kind of money on players who are not going to perform. It's time to really clean this up. And or you have to rethink some key personnel. But that's it for the fan questions. I'm exhausted mentally, physically. I'm frustrated. I hate feeling like this after a Bills game. And now we have the Chiefs coming up. So, Matt, if you don't have anything else, I'd like to go take a nap.
That's fair enough then. So, as we always say on every show, keep showing your love, support, comments, and anything like that to us at UK_Bills on Twitter, at RWBB_podcast on Twitter, the Facebook group, Buffalo Bills UK, YouTube, Buffalo Bills UK, Instagram UK_Bills. I have to say we're getting close to that 1,000 mark on followers on Twitter.
Again,
I mean, get that push.
Yeah, no, we're working it. But it's been a lot of fun. Bills Twitter's been a lot of fun through the ups and the downs. There's a lot of participation. Yeah. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah. So what we do is say, keep subscribing, keep showing the love to us. And for me and for Alex, who is probably going to go to sleep, I might as well get my put my dressing gown back on. Oh, that looks I'm about nice to get to bed myself.
All right.
It's good evening, good morning, good afternoon. Thank you for listening. Continue subscribing and go Bills.
Go Bills.
Not us.
Yeah, not us.
You don't know anything about heart. You don't know anything about work.
No. Huh? No. That's who we are.
Bills on three. One, two, three.